Imagine a place where it is so violent, so dangerous, that you have to bring bodyguards with you to enjoy a salad at lunch. Well, that's the situation in Ciudad Juarez.
Last week, I took my wife down to Juarez to a restaurant, but about an hour or so afterwards, there was a lot of Mexican executives coming in with their bodyguards. So we started feeling a lot better because there was must have been about 10 bodyguards all over the place.
That's Jose Contreras. He works for the Mexican Chamber of Commerce in Ciudad Juarez. The violence there took a new turn this weekend when three people affiliated with the U.S. consulate were gunned down. Two of them were U.S. citizens. One of them was pregnant. Now Juarez residents are battening down the hatches. Many of them are fleeing the city. We're joined again by Jessica Pena. She's one of those residents, but she is not fleeing. She's a professor of sociology at the Autonomous University of Ciudad Juarez, and she's lived there nearly all her life. And I'm wondering, Jessica, have you actually made changes to your daily routine because of what's been going on?
Yes, we do have to make, you know, kind of an arrangement, not huge changes, but you have to be very much more aware of where you're going, how late are you in the street, you know, you're aware of your surroundings, of the people around you. And for your children, we do have to make, you know, a little bit of adjustments, like when dropping them to school or picking them up from school. We do have to be careful. But basically, we have been trying to get a normal life going on.
Well, the economy in Juarez is suffering from this uptick in violence as well. Business owners are being terrorized by extortionists who are supposedly connected with gangs there. Let me play again something from Jose Contreras from the Mexican Chamber of Commerce.
Some people have gotten killed because they don't want to pay money. I know a small little bar in Juarez that is basically a dead bar now, business-wise. They sold $650 in 1 month, and yet they're having to pay $40 every 2 weeks protection money or extortion money, whichever way you want to call it.
So let's bring in Sarah Yana now. She's the Latin American Bureau Chief for the Christian Science Monitor, and she's just returned from Juarez. Sarah, what did you hear from the business people there?
Right. I mean, the extortion has just gotten worse and worse. You think it might be hard to find somebody, but really any person you go up to who's willing to speak to you will share a story about extortion. I talked to one small business owner there who runs a restaurant, and he said that for months they were calling him, you know, demanding monthly money, and he just said, you know, he just ignored them, and he cut out his phone line instead. And then they showed up in December, basically with a gun, and said, listen, you have three options. You either pay, your place gets burned down, or you're dead.
Jessica Pena, listening to this and knowing that there's been this sort of mass exodus where people are leaving Juarez, they're going into El Paso, Texas. You said you're seeing for sale signs all over your neighborhood. You said two young men were killed in front of your house. And you even told us that your mother and father were both victims of attempted extortion. So why are you staying in Juarez?
Well, first of all, because it is very hard to find jobs somewhere else. Let's say if something, you know, if it came up to that point, well, then we would make that kind of decision. But basically, my husband and I, we are very attached to our city. He was born also here. Our children are being raised here. And we believe that this situation is an opportunity for us to do something, you know, something else. We need to find answers about what's going on. And both of us, you know, as being professors at the university, we need to do something more. So we are going to try to stay here in Juarez. We have talked about this to try and help the community in bringing, you know, change into the city, which is one of the things that we are trying to demand.
Jessica, you know, I really admire you and what your husband and you are doing. But how do you explain to your children who the target is here? I mean, you say you rush to pick up kids from school. You rush through your routine to make sure you don't get in the line of fire. Do you have any idea who the target is in your day-to-day life?
No, and that's one of the hardest parts. Everyone is exposed to this kind of violence. Anyone has, you know, it could be you next. So the other thing that we try to do is be aware, like I said, about our surroundings, and we do talk to our children. My oldest son, he's 7 years old, and he's in elementary school now. So he is aware of what's going on. It's sad for us to have to tell him, you know, about these things, you know, to have to explain to a very young child about what's going on. But he is aware of that. And, you know, we just pray, you know, that everything is going to be fine every single day.
Sarah, let me ask you, the Mexican President Felipe Calderon is in Juarez today, and he's actually there. He'd planned this trip before these shootings over the weekend of workers from the U.S. consulate. He's actually there responding to the massacre in January of high school students. What is he saying about the situation in Juarez?
Well, that's right. The massacre in January is really a tipping point in Juarez. That's when people really started to demand change, saying that, listen, this military strategy alone is not working. So Calderon, his administration has really shifted tactic here. They're not going to back, you know, they're not going to withdraw the military. I mean, that's not on the table. But what they are saying is we need to invest in social programs. They are acknowledging that, you know, they have to attack the root of the violence and not just the violence itself. So they're making all kinds of promises right now to get more people with universal health care coverage, to build high schools, to, you know, put more money into addiction programs, to give microcredit to people. It's called We Are All Juarez, and it's, you know, this is Calderon's third visit to the city since the massacre in January. And, you know, people are encouraged in Juarez. I'd also say there's a lot of skepticism that this might just be a lot of empty promises. So it remains to be seen what's going to be done.
Are there worries from the U.S. side of the border that with this mass exodus of people into El Paso that the violence will follow them across the U.S. border?
At this point, I don't think that they're thinking the violence is going to come into the U.S., but there's just concern about what they're seeing on the other side, and so many people have lives on both sides of the border.
And Jessica, quickly, with the Army on patrol, have you seen a change? Do you feel safer since the Army began patrolling Juarez?
No. We are just exposed, you know, to, I think, more violence in terms of also having gunmen, you know, on the streets. You know, my young child, he had never seen a full life gun in his life. But, you know, 2 months ago, you know, one of the soldiers came up to us as we were going to school, you know, just to ask us how we felt, you know, in our colonia, in our street.
And he was
armed.
And
for the first time, he saw it. So that's, okay. You know, contradictions for us.
Professor Jessica Pena, professor of sociology at the University of Ciudad Juarez. We also spoke with Sarah Miller Yana. She's the Christian Science Monitor's Latin American Bureau Chief.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.